today on Real Radio.
Morality is a big deal. So there's a lot of people today that are just disconnected from reason. And they'll say things like, I don't want to talk about morality. You have to talk about morality. Every human has a morality. Your morality has been created based upon how you were brought up.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In this message called Our Biblical Worldview and War, Part 2, Pastor Jack continues with this understanding. We do not enjoy or desire war. The Bible tells us, however, that there will always be war and rumors of war. And until Christ returns, military power must be used against hostile groups and nations to protect our freedom and independence. Today, Pastor Jack continues Part 2 with this question. What is the Christian to do when our hearts desire peace, but our enemies are bent on war? According to Scripture, we are to defend and protect our fundamental biblical view against those who want to impose a different morality through terror and oppression. And now for today's lesson, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
But the Bible makes it very clear that if you do not provide protection for your home, you are worse than a non-believer. Isn't that interesting? So there's a time and in a place where a nation or a people would go to war, and we answered that before. Number three, we looked at, isn't war murder? We hear about that today. Isn't war a murder? And we looked at Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, where the Bible says, you shall not murder. And the answer was an overwhelming no. War, people are killed. Murder is, according to the Bible, where someone is hunted down and murdered. The killing that takes place in war, this is a shock, but it's theologically a fact. God sanctions war, and tragically, the result of war is that people are killed. God knows this. Why? We live in a fallen world. He's going to fix it, but it's fallen. The fourth thing is this. Can a Christian go to war? We looked at that last time, and we just brought up some tremendous Christians and believers, pre-Christian, who believed in God. Abraham, our father in the faith, went to war. Joshua went to war. King David went to war. Israel was commanded by God numerous times to either go to war or to defend themselves against an invader. By the way, read later, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was being attacked, and he went and prayed. And God said, Jehoshaphat, humble yourself, call the people, have them pray. Watch this, it's amazing. Read it later. It's not even in my notes, but it's so exciting. They're all concerned, they're worrying, Jehoshaphat's freaking out. And God says, listen, get everybody ready for battle. So show up tomorrow, God said, ready for battle. So they all got ready for battle. They're all standing there. This is an amazing lesson. They show up, they're all dressed for battle, they're ready to go, they're trembling, they're scared. Knees are knocking. Because a coalition of nations were coming against Israel, Judah. And God said, okay, that's great that you guys showed up. I'll take it from here. And he knocked them out. I mean, you got to read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 later. It is, you can't put it down. It's amazing. God, look, they showed up to the battle. And God says, okay, I just want to see if you're going to show up. I'll take it from here. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. That's powerful. By the way, the Bible says in the last days when Christ returns, he will fight at the end of the tribulation period like he fought in the day of battle. That's heavy. Wow. That's heavy stuff. And so here we pick it up where we left off last time. Point number five. Point number five is this, regarding our biblical worldview and war. Is war ever just? And that's where we left off. Is war ever just? Well, we certainly know this, that war can be unjust. And we're watching it on the news now in Syria. That is an unjust onslaught. In fact, for whatever good this will come out of it, if anything, the United Nations today said that this is none other than genocide that is taking place. That is a horrific, tragic event taking place. And technically, what Assad is doing to the Syrian people is not even war because they're unarmed. War is a declaration. We are going to go to war with you. Japan had a secret attack against the United States in 1941. Now, legally, I don't know if you know this or not, legally, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to call a nation up and say, we are filing a declaration of war against you, and on Monday at noon, we're going to war with you. Economic sanctions, military, we're coming. That's the rules among nations. It has been. And so you know the fallout from that. After December 7th, 1941, we were surprised attacked by the Empire of Japan. And then the president announced that we were declaring war. We filed legal papers and then went to war against first Japan in the Pacific. And ultimately, we were invited into the European theater in World War II at Winston Churchill's request. Is a war ever just? I want you to be thinking about this. The answer is yes, war can be just. Whether you are advancing or defending, it is based on your morality. And this is a key word. People don't want to talk about the word morality anymore. Are you guys bored with this? Okay, good. Morality is a big deal. So there's a lot of people today that are just disconnected from reason. And they'll say things like, I don't want to talk about morality. You have to talk about morality. Every human has a morality. Your morality has been created based upon how you were brought up. Did you know that? Do you like to do this or do that? Why? I'm 25 years old. I like to do this and I like to do that. How is it that you'd like to do that and you'd like to do this? It was instilled within you in your upbringing, and that forms your morality. Good, bad, or ugly, you have a morality. Your morality dictates your worldview. Assad tonight has a morality. He has a worldview. What do you think of it? He's killing his own people. Somebody might say, well, that's over there. You know what? You need to meet more people in this church, because there's people here from Syria and they have family in Syria. I've got a brother right here who's got family in Egypt. I wouldn't want to be in Egypt now. You can't think like that. You can't isolate your morality. Your morality, that is your worldview, will affect other people. And other people's worldview morality will affect you. It's your values. Now, listen to this. I'll give you something that will, I think, stimulate your blood pressure here. When you talk about a morality that's formed by a worldview, and you, for example, tell your child all their life growing up, life is precious, life is beautiful, don't pull the ears off the cat, be nice, right? When you instill value, and that's an important thing, parents, listen. Always instill value into your child's life. And it starts with the most basic, simplest things. If you see your kid doing something, let's say your kid's got just an absolute appetite to run around and kill bugs and to pluck the wings off of butterflies, and there's this glee in their eye, you might say, well, you know what? We've got too many butterflies in this town anyway. Even if we do have too many butterflies in this town, that's not your argument. What you do is you sit Junior down and say, look, we don't pull wings off of butterflies. God made them. They're cool. I understand that you're, being a little weirdo right now and our own little homegrown domestic terrorist here. But buddy, listen, we respect what God's made. So don't do that, okay? Just don't do that. And you teach your kids. That's a teachable moment. That's a good thing. You are forming within them a morality, which will come upon them as a worldview. Very, very important. Why do some cultures just absolutely, and I've traveled, I've seen this happen, where they just have fun injuring animals. I was in a country one time with some friends, and we were driving by, it was tough. Some police had ridden up on horses, And they tied the horses up to the pole at the city. In the city. And the police went into a cafe. This is in a Middle Eastern country. And some kids came by and picked up rocks, and they were with just 3 feet away from the horses' noses, and they were just pelting these horses with rocks, big rocks. Horses bleeding. It's terrible. Horse can't cover its eyes, you know. And we went to jump out of the car and beat up those kids because our emotions just flared up, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's a defenseless animal. This is horrible. That's wicked. These kids were about maybe 13, 14, 16 years old. And the driver said, you're not getting out of this car because in this neighborhood, you'll be killed right here, right now. You're the wrong color. You're the wrong nationality, and you'll be dead in a minute. There's no value of life here. And the guy took us out of there. Boom. I saw you just a moment ago cringing at just the picture of that in your mind. Why did that happen to you? You have been instilled by a worldview, by a morality, that life is somehow precious even among animals. Not all people in the world are taught like this, my friends. And you need to understand that. Everyone has a morality. Now, it's interesting. This thing about Islamic Sharia law is so very dangerous. No one wants to talk about it, but it's here, and it has an extremely low value of life. And that's a fact. Look at the countries where it reigns supreme. Nations like Saudi Arabia, that is the epitome of Islamic law, Saudi Arabia. Have you ever been to Saudi Arabia? If you're a non-Muslim, you have to drive on a certain highway. You don't get to drive on a normal highway. There's certain places you can go and not go because you're an infidel. That's nothing compared to where we could go on this topic. It has no value for individual freedoms. You love your individual freedoms. They're important to you. Do you think that you should be able to have a child, raise that child in your own home, that's your child, and that you are to love that child, raise that child up, and do as we do in this culture? Not all cultures think like that. Some children are open for sacrifice, human sacrifice. Where does that come from? If you want to argue with what I'm saying, I'd simply ask you this question. If you go to Iran today or Saudi Arabia, can you be a Christian openly in Saudi Arabia or Iran? Can you openly be an atheist in Saudi Arabia? Can you openly be an evolutionist in Saudi Arabia or Iran? Can you openly be a homosexual in Saudi Arabia or Iran? The answer to those questions are no. It's no. Think of that. That is a morality that comes out of a worldview. Is a war ever just? When that system or a system like it, be it communism, Islamicist, Nazism, comes into a culture and says, we are going to take over, change your historical culture, impose our culture upon yours, and you will do this, and if you don't, you will die. What does the Christian do? What does the Bible teach? A pacifist thinks, it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't involve me, as long as they stay across the street and they don't come near me. And you're living in a dream. Read, study what happened in 1683 at the gates of Vienna on September 11th when the King of Poland summoned Europe to come and fight against the Islamic invaders of Europe. What was the Islamic invaders doing in Vienna, Austria, ladies and gentlemen? That is key. And when the king said, we need to fight, our wives will be raped, our children will be enslaved, and all of our men will be killed. It's happened all the way from Mecca and Medina all the way up to this point. What are we going to do? Do you know that tonight there will be Christians who will say, I just can't get involved? And your wife will be raped in front of you, your children will be taken captive, and then you'll be beheaded. And you think what? That God says to do that? That you're gonna say, I'm obeying God as my wife is being slaughtered. See, it's easy to talk about theoretical stuff in a classroom when it never has to be a reality. Parents understand what I'm saying a little bit more than a person who may have no children tonight. And a young person is saying, why are we talking about this? I don't get it. Turn your eyes to the screen. And I want to ask you this question. This is from the Muslim Brotherhood Charter. You can read it online, by the way. But this is from the Egyptian president, the new one, Mohamed Morsi, who, by the way, just dismissed his military generals. He's now the sole power, dictator of Egypt now. How sad, huh? The Quran is our constitution, the Prophet is our leader, jihad is our path, and death in the name of Allah is our goal. This is now the leader of Egypt. I may be wrong about this, probably am, but I think Egypt has something like the fifth largest army in the world, or sixth. You guys, this is a statement of the now commander-in-chief of Egypt. You say, well, I don't care, Egypt's a long way from here. I encourage you to go to the CIA website and look up the military hardware of Egypt. Okay, you may be surprised as to how advanced Egypt is. You see, what does that have to do with anything? Because they could pull up next to our coastline and send you some airmail. That's why you should care. Free nations today are fighting against some form of communism, Islamic theocracy, or Nazism. Most of them have no borders, no flags, no uniforms, no rules, and no ethics or morality that you and I can relate to. And our children in schools are being told a multicultural fairy tale. And America has, the enemy has found the underbelly of America. Just talk sweet nothings into her ear, and she'll just let you walk on in. And in the name of multiculturalism, our children no longer learn about George Washington or William Bradford. They no longer learn about John F. Kennedy and him taking on the Russians in the Cuban Missile Crisis. They don't even know what I'm talking about. It's a very tragic thing. You might come back and say, but wait a minute, what about Matthew chapter 5, verse 38? You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, Jesus said that, ye resist not evil, but whoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. Do you know where that comes from? That comes from Leviticus 24:20. That is the law of retaliation against personal attack. Have you ever wondered how can God justify war in his Bible, but then say, turn the other cheek? My friend, those two issues do not apply to one another. One is, if David smacked me in the face, I'm not to smack him back in the face. You understand that? This has nothing to do with war. I'm to turn the other cheek and I'm to say, listen, what's going on? We need to negotiate this. What's your trip, David? It's to prevent personal revenge against another person. That's what turning the other cheek is all about. But listen, the number one verse used to say, you know what? We can't get involved is this verse right here when they try to make it apply to war. And again, don't think for a moment I'm a warmonger. All bit of war, all war should be absolutely avoided at all costs. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Christian is to be the most law-abiding, loving, and we should be the ones that are steering every bit of diplomatic opportunity away from war. But like Abraham Lincoln said, my heart was for peace, but my enemy was bent on war. What do you do if your heart's for peace, but the guy coming against you wants to destroy you? What do you do? Next slide. I'm going to ask you this question. Was the American Civil War, a just war? Oh, you guys, now, okay, let's back up. You have to get involved. This is a classroom tonight. I'm your teacher, you are the student. Was the American Civil War between North and South a justified war?
Yes.
Wow. That was good. It was our bloodiest war, you know. You know, we lost more guys than any other war ever. Are you sure it was a justified war? Why was it justified? Why would Lincoln go to war against the South? What was his reason for warring? Thank you. Finally. It wasn't to save the Union. That was the byproduct of the worldview. What was his worldview? Read his writings. Lincoln's very popular right now. There's books all over about Lincoln. Listen, Lincoln saw what the Bible said about slavery as a scourge, he called it, upon America. Slavery. That's a just war. The United States launched in 1804 a war against the Muslim pirates on the Barbary Coast to liberate tens of thousands of European and American slaves taken captive in North Africa. And when questioned, Thomas Jefferson said, "It's a just war. We're going to liberate those that have been taken captive by piracy." Interesting. On the screen, I hope you have this. Yes, here we go. On the occasion, this is Lincoln at his second inaugural address. On the occasion corresponding to this 4 years ago, all thoughts were anxiously directed to an impending civil war. All dreaded it. All sought to avert it. You hear that? That's good. While the inaugural address was being delivered from this place, devoted altogether to the saving of the Union without war, insurgent agents were in the city seeking to destroy it without war. That's happening today, ladies and gentlemen. Seeking to dissolve the Union and divide effects by negotiation. Both parties depreciated war. That is, they talked it down, but one of them would make war rather than let the Union survive. And the other would accept war rather than let it perish. And the war came. Interesting. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. God's word to Israel. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth." Now, this is to Israel. But wasn't there a time when America was set high above all nations of the earth? "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and War, Part 2. Thanks for listening today. Our desire is that you stay encouraged and focused on the Word. And don't forget, governments are still on God's shoulder, and He will bring judgment and justice through the return of Jesus Christ. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. If you are looking to have a more active, a more relevant, and engaging faith, which we hope you do, check out the Worldview Series. Now, you can get your hands on the entire series, the entire Worldview Series, on MP3 for your gift of any amount to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And it's in a very convenient format. It's a USB thumb drive that contains the entire Worldview series of sermons by Pastor Jack on MP3. Now, you can load those into your computer if you'd like. You can put them onto your iPad, your iPod, whatever you like to carry during the day. And you'll have the entire Worldview series. Now, this is the series that Pastor Jack really focused on, you having a more active, a more relevant, and engaging faith. It helps us connect biblical context to our modern-day world. You know, a lot of us have a tough time doing that, connecting the Bible to our everyday life. Well, this Worldview Series is going to help you do just that. It's the Worldview Series USB MP3, available for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Once again, for your gift of any amount to this ministry, you'll get that Worldview Series on USB thumb drive in MP3 format. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.